brilliantly acrobatic save.
Xhaka's corner, Sheeran!
Wow, they're starting with an attacking play on the second half. Just as the ball kicks off, DJ Sticks running with the ball. DJ Sticks passes DJ Stones. Wow, DJ Stones run past Lionel Messi. Runs past Cristiano Ronaldo. Passes to Fernandinho. Fernandinho passes back to DJ Stones. DJ Stones takes a shot and he misses. But DJ Sticks is there for the rebound and he hits it in. And wow! That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is classic play. And this is the VAR show.
Welcome, welcome everybody.
Welcome
to an exciting, exciting installment of the V
A
R show. With your host that does the most.
Yeah.
The one that's good at making toast.
Mm-hmm.
The one, the only DJ Stones. And with me here is
the one and only DJ Sticks. No intro.
No intro.
No.
Wow, you're growing. Growing as a man, damn. I'm proud.
No. It's actually because we have an exciting show and I want to get straight into it.
Yeah, you know, this whole conversation took up the time that you tried to save.
So I could have said the intro.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But like he said, we have an exciting show.
Yes. Yes.
But we're going to start off, you know, catching up. DJ Sticks over here is going to help us catch up with what's happening on the transfer market.
Currently, right now, if that makes sense, it is going down, right? In the past couple of days, especially this, since the beginning of this week, some big moves were announced. Obviously, one of the first ones that we got, the deal was finalized this past weekend. Viktor Gyökeres to Arsenal. Here we go. I am scared. I don't know about you. Not really.
Look. I still feel like Arsenal is going to find a way to Arsenal it and still find like come out second or third, maybe even fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But we will see.
Yeah.
You know, I think the only team that currently is scaring me is Chelsea.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
Not even Liverpool.
No.
Like actually Chelsea.
Okay. Liverpool, I still believe that there might be, you know, a whole gelling that needs to happen. I think last season was great and it looks like they're strengthening up their squad, but there's still a whole lot that needs to go through before Liverpool can, you know,
become,
yeah, can do what they did last season again.
Okay.
That's cool. My take on it. I could be wrong, but Chelsea proved already in the Club World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also strengthened their squad since then.
Further,
so,
yeah.
It's going to be interesting. But with Gyökeres coming in, I think it will be a problem though, because United is Arsenal's first game, so it will be very interesting
Cool.
What is going to happen.
Hopefully it goes well. And he scores 5 goals. But anyway, speaking of Liverpool have lost one of their key players as Luis Diaz finalizes a permanent move and goes to Bayern Munich. For what's believed to be 75 million plus 5 million in add-ons. So it's a total of 75 million euros. Luis Diaz is gone. It's gone.
It's going to be crazy because now obviously he becomes that Leroy Sané replacement.
Yes. It's for Bayern Munich, yes.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting to see that, you know, this is going to be the second Liverpool attempting to take on that wing.
Okay. You know,
remember Mane was there?
Oh yes. And then Sané.
And then now Sané is coming in.
Mm. I think it's going to be quite interesting to see what Liverpool is going to do. I do think that maybe Cody Gakpo is going to start playing more on the left, because yeah, he normally likes playing that side. So I'm seeing Cody Gakpo, Federico Chiesa, maybe.
No, but remember, Chiesa also wants to leave.
Yeah, because, yeah, it wasn't a very good first season.
Yeah.
But we'll
But I guess, we'll see. Like you said, it's going to be quite interesting because now it's not like they're even interested in bringing somebody for the left. It looks like they want to bring in
Isak. They want Isak.
So you have Nkite. I hope I said his name right. You have Isak, who both play center.
Mm-hmm.
You have Salah, who comes off the right.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like Darwin Nunes is going to be leaving.
Mm-hmm. He wants
obviously
to leave.
The sad passing of Jota. I mean,
yes.
So I would be very interested to see who they bring in on the right.
If they bring in, Verts can probably play there as well. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
On the left, yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe indeed.
He can play there. But we will see. We will see. Another shocking one. So this one I wasn't expecting, but I do think it's going to be a good move. So Sunderland agreed deal to sign Granit Xhaka from Bayer Leverkusen. Here we go, 20 million.
I feel like that's it feels like such a football manager. You know?
Like as a young club, bro, like you back someone like Xhaka, you're like, yeah!
Yeah, like I just got into the Premier League. I need a Premier League proven player.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, for me, he's like one of my favorite players. As in, yeah, just the way that he's willing to fight for the team and also his leadership.
Yeah.
And in his words, this is the toughest challenge yet.
Yeah.
For him.
Something crazy with transfers, right? So if Leipzig never sold any player in the last few years, right?
Mm.
This would be their players.
Okay.
So they would have had Kolasi as their keeper.
Okay.
Guardiola, Konate, Upamecano, and Kimmich.
Damn.
In their back line.
Kimmich.
Lima, Omar, and Szoboszlai in their midfield.
Whoa.
And then an attacking three, which doesn't really make sense because Simon is not there, but he's not an attacking player, right? But you'd have Lookman, Mkunku, and Simmons, Chubby Simmons.
Damn.
Imagine.
It would have been a hot squad.
This would have been a very hot squad indeed. Yeah. But I got distracted.
No. Every league needs a Monaco.
Yep.
Because Monaco, if we go look at like the players they've sold in the past, they have a literally crazy squad. Like I'm talking Flandry, Bernardo Silva, Kylian Mbappe, and someone else on the left. I can't remember who used to play left for them.
But the reason why I brought up Leipzig, so this is, it's not confirmed yet, but there have been concrete conversations between Man United and RB Leipzig in the last 48 hours, and a face-to-face meeting to take place for none other than Benjamin Sesko.
How will you feel if this deal happens? Because this is a player that we haven't started speaking about now. I mean, 2-3 years ago, if you go to the archives, right, for the listeners.
Yeah.
If you go listen to the VR show, DJ Stones did bring him up.
And look, it'll be exciting. I think at the time when I saw him first was around the time when I think either Haaland went to Dortmund and then he was in Salzburg. Or
Haaland went to City.
Or when Haaland went to City and then he came into Leipzig. I can't remember exactly which one. Probably Salzburg. I saw him in Salzburg. And I remember him going to Leipzig because Man United were also interested in him back then.
Mm.
Or were rumored to be interested in him back then. And obviously when United was also like a bit into him. And looking at the player he's become is quite interesting. As well as also looking at, but you know, in this hype, there's a lot of hype videos, a lot of good. I don't watch Leipzig games, so I can't really give you a good analysis on how good he is or how bad he is, you know. But he seems, from the like the clips and the stuff I've been seeing, he seems like the type of player that we're going to want at United. But my thing with United is that it all comes down to the service. If there is no service, I don't care even if you Haaland, you're going to struggle. And I'm just looking at some of his stats.
Let's get into those numbers.
So 2024-2025, he had played 33 matches. He started 30.
Okay.
He had 13 goals, 5 assists, which is an 18 goal and assist.
Okay.
He had 11 non-penalty goals, which is good. He had 2 penalty goals.
Mm.
His expected goals, so his GA was 10 and he got 13, so he beat it.
Beat
his expected goals. His expected non-penalty goals was 8 and he got 11, so he beat that. His expected assists was at 2.1 and he got 5, so he beat that.
Oh wow.
His ball carrying was at 47%. His progressive passes, meaning passing into the 10-yard box, was at 46%.
Okay. Just under 50.
And so, yeah. So, he seems like a pretty good striker. And this is with Leipzig. And just looking at the evolution of his numbers, his first game, his last season in Salzburg, he had a 16-goal scoring season. Followed by his first season in Leipzig, he had a 14-goal scoring season. and wow. then a 13 goal scoring season.
And so he's like consistent.
Yeah, it's crazy because he's currently on his fifth professional season.
Wow.
With two clubs. And he has a total of 48 goals.
So he has a lot to give.
If I compare this to... if I compare this to Hoyland, right?
Rasmus Hoyland.
Rasmus Hoyland has 5 seasons as well. 4 clubs.
All right.
Right.
Some more experience right. in that sense, yes.
And then he also came out with 47 goals in total.
Oh, wow.
But it looks like he's only really had 1 season of a double digit goals.
Yeah.
Which was his... 2023-2024 season at Man United in the Premier League.
No, look, I think if Sesko comes there, it's going to be a good deal for United and also for him, and probably because also Mbeumo strikes me as the more creative striker who can also partner with people.
Yeah.
So if somehow him and Sesko can like play together, maybe every once in a while there you rope in Hoyland. It's going to be very interesting to see how Premier League clubs will try and deal with that because it's a unique combo. It's a unique combo. I've seen some of Sesko's videos. Yeah, he's a full-on like power finisher, acrobatic, tall and
fast,
header, fast. He's basically a nightmare for defenders. So seeing him at United will be very bad, you know, for a person like me.
Yep.
But let's see what happens. Let us see what happens.
And look, it's not 100% there yet. There's also reports speaking about the fact that Newcastle wants him. And, you know, Fabrizio Romano spoke saying that Newcastle are ready to pay what Leipzig wants. They're ready to pay whatever Sesko and his camp wants if he decides to join them. So, and Man United are still working on a deal and are ready to speak to Leipzig. So, obviously, it comes down to the player. And it comes down to what does the player want.
It comes down because obviously, another thing to consider, Man United have already signed two attackers, right? Newcastle might lose Isak to Liverpool. And if they do, Sesko will become top priority.
Yep.
Meaning game time is guaranteed for him at Newcastle.
You know, if what Fabrizio Romano is saying is true, you know, if that statement is as it's being stated there.
Yes.
It shows you that Isak is like 1 foot out the door.
Yeah. I think he is.
If you have a player like Isak who's performed very well for you.
Yeah.
You know, for like 2-3 seasons now. You're not going to say we're ready to pay whatever Leipzig wants and whatever Sesko and his camp wants. You know, you're going to negotiate.
Yeah.
If he comes, he comes. This sounds like a desperate attempt to get a replacement for Isak. Because there's 2-3 weeks left to the season. And they need players. They can't start the season out without that number 9.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Do you have one more for us before we go?
Yes, I have saved the best for last, you know. With a top player like this, like we have to save him for last place. So in a shocking deal, right? Shocking deal. João Félix goes to Al Nassr. Here we go. Permanent deal agreed for 30 million. Initial fee with heavy sell-on clause and add-ons included in the package. Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about this.
João Félix reunited with Cristiano.
Like,
what happened? You know?
What happened to him? He was supposed to be one of the best players in Europe.
Of all time, man. I mean, Atletico signed him for how much again?
Isn't like 100 and something million?
Yes, 100 and very heavy amounts.
And my issue is that, look, on Al Nassr side, let me say this on the Saudi league side.
Yes.
Their purchases, you know, make better sense than I thought. When the Saudi Pro League started, or when it became a big thing with Ronaldo going there.
Yes.
What I kind of expected it to be was going to be another Chinese Super League. Somewhere, somehow.
Like basically a retirement village.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or like, it's still a bit of this, where you have a lot of players that are, it feels like they're done with their career, you know, where they're going to play there. Like, you're not looking at a, you're not looking at a, like a Joao Felix and saying, oh my gosh, they got one of the best players in the world to go there, you know? You're talking about somebody who at 25 is only on 92 goals. You know? And you're not talking about somebody like Haaland, who's way over like his 100th goal already.
Way over his 100th goal. Yeah.
And you know, in fact, last season in Serie A, he only had 2 goals.
Damn.
In 15 games for AC Milan. And I'm not saying this to, you know, bring the player down or anything. He's a fantastic player. But now it's one of two things that we're going to see. If he's going there to, you know, restart his career, and if we go, or if he's going there to, you know, just, you know, cash on the money. And the big way you, and what will show us that is when we, if we ever see a big transfer going the other way around.
So
outside of Saudi into Europe.
Hopefully it happens, you know, because then it's a good football story. But looking at the chances of that, of that happening, they are very slim. They are very slim. Who knows? Maybe he goes back to Saudi and he finds that, you know, that that magic juice again.
Yep.
And he turns back into the Joao Felix we knew when he was 19, and he makes a comeback. So we'll be keeping an eye on that.
How much did they buy him for? Was it like what, 20 mil, 30 mil?
So it's a total of 43.7 mil. So yeah, that's the initial fee plus the add-ons, and then Chelsea have also tagged on a sell-on fee, yes. But obviously that doesn't compare to the amount that Atletico spent when getting him from Benfica.
Look, Atletico spent about 127 more.
So, damn, that's the kind of player we're talking about, you know?
Yep.
That's the, I think there is the curse of close to 100 mil. If you look at Hazard, how much he was signed for. If you look at Coutinho, if you look at, yeah, there's many players that clubs have paid that big amount, and then the player just can't live up to that amount.
Yep. And I think it becomes a problem when you put a price tag that's a bit too high for the player. Like, the player is not 100 million. You know, you look at Jack Grealish, you look at Eden Hazard, you look at Joao Felix, you look at Romelu Lukaku, Antoine Griezmann, you know.
There's an endless list.
Felipe Coutinho. Ousmane Dembele from Dortmund to Barca. Enzo Fernandez. Then you do get some good players like, you know, your Declan Rice. Maybe Florian Wirtz.
Yes.
Moise Caicedo seems to be now getting into his stride.
Finally.
So it becomes now that thing of, you know, there's a pressure on you. So you bring back that money that you were sold for. Like Hazard from Chelsea to Madrid was 115 million. Felipe Coutinho was 135 million.
Crazy amount.
Lukaku from Inter Milan to Chelsea was 113 million.
Damn.
You know, and Antoine Griezmann to Barca. Barca just doesn't know how to get them right. Barca has spent a whopping.
Don't say it.
250 million on two players that ended up being flops for them.
And then they sent them back where they found them.
And they sent them back.
Yeah. They even loaned them out to loaned Coutinho out to Bayern Munich. And then Coutinho in that Bayern season was like on his best. Yo.
In fact, because you also have good signings like Madrid, Ronaldo from Madrid to Juventus, 117. And Neymar going from Barca to PSG for 222. In fact, they spent more than they got from PSG on
Coutinho and Griezmann. Crazy
indeed.
I still think that Neymar fee will never be broken.
Hasn't it been broken already?
Nope. By who? No one can break that fee.
I'm checking.
See,
this.
if Madrid bought Mbappe from. So if Mbappe signed an extension with PSG, maybe Madrid was going to threaten to break that thing, but no player.
Damn, no one is bigger than the 220 for... The second one is 180 from... Damn, PSG were balling. So PSG holds the two highest with Neymar and Kylian Mbappe.
Wait, they bought Mbappe for 180?
Yeah.
What?
from AS Monaco.
What? How old was he again? That is crazy.
He was only 17. Sorry, that's...
No.
That's what's his name.
No way. That's Lamine Yamal. Lamine Yamal. Oh my 17. Gosh. Crazy.
Youngest person to turn 18.
What? Wow.
Hell no. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Anyway, let's go to the main topic of the day. Because you're talking about transfers. And you can't talk about transfers without talking about FFP.
What is that?
Financial fair play.
Oh, okay. I know what that is.
Yes, where you...
As a Man City fan, I definitely know.
Yeah, you know, 115 reasons.
We follow it, you know, to the core.
So, financial fair play was introduced in UEFA. So, it also applies. You have a FIFA financial fair play as well as you have UEFA financial fair play, right? We're going to talk more about UEFA, but some of it applies across the board.
Yeah.
Right? So it was introduced in 2009 and implemented in the 2011 and 12 season. And it aims to ensure clubs spend within their means to avoid financial instability and protect the long-term health of the European football.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The Premier League uses the PSR with a similar goal. So it's I forgot what it's called. I'll check that for you quick. But so it works very similar to the
PSR.
The FFP.
Oh yes.
The PSR is not a socialist party.
I have public service regulations.
It's profit and sustainability rules.
Oh wow. Okay, that's okay. In the Premier League, right?
Yes, that's what it's called in the Premier League. And that's what are some of the stuff that Man City are being charged for, just in case you didn't know.
I don't know why we have to talk about Man City.
You know, I have to bring it up.
No. There are other clubs that are battling with this as well.
But none of them have 115 charges. Anyway, so what is the purpose of this?
I will tell you the purpose of this. In spite of you teasing my club, right? So basically what the FFP is responsible for is basically preventing clubs from overspending beyond how much they make. So if you make a certain amount, right? If you make, let's say, 300 mil, you cannot now go spend 600 mil on transfers, you know, as Man United has done over the past few years, right? And this curbs financial doping by wealthy owners. So basically, wealthy owners can't just pump in money, right? And also reduces the risk of bankruptcy, as we've seen with a club like Olympique Lyon.
With the Leeds as well.
I mean, and I haven't heard anything of Lyon coming back.
Oh, no, they are. They are. They appealed.
Are they back now?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Quick side note. The most shadiest deal ever just happened under our noses.
No one even knows.
Right?
Yeah.
So, the owner of Crystal Palace owns Olympique Lyon, yes?
Damn.
Olympique Lyon and Botafogo.
From Brazil. Wow.
So because Crystal Palace won the FA Cup, right? They made it into the Europa. Meaning sixth place was not a Europa spot.
In the Prem. Sixth place was now?
I think a Conference League spot.
Okay.
And then seventh place got nothing.
Oh, wow.
Right? So, you know, because it's transfer window, Nottingham Forest went off and bought, I think, five Botafogo players.
Damn.
Right? Amazing players, you know, to really strengthen up their team because, you know, they lost the likes of Elanga and so forth.
Yes. You know, so
five. And Botafogo's owners used that money and transferred it to
Lyon.
Olympique Lyon.
Oh my gosh.
And when they appealed, right, the whole thing of them being relegated, because of that, it got approved because they showed that they broke even, they made the money. So now Olympique Lyon is now back, meaning that their Europa's position is not under threat. Which means, according to the UEFA rules, right, Olympique Lyon has not identified in time that they have two clubs that are about to be in the same European competition. Meaning one of them have to go into the Conference League. Take a wild guess which one went into the Conference League.
You know, if you look at the club, I think that, you know, let me take a wild guess, right? Crystal Palace.
Correct.
What?
So Crystal Palace got demoted to the Conference League. And guess who got into the Europa? Just out of nowhere.
Olympique Lyon.
Nottingham Forest.
Huh?
Now, and it's between they went into conference or they went into the Europa. Because now, all of a sudden, a Europa space opened.
Because Palace went to Conference League. So basically what this proves, right, is that there shouldn't be all this attention on Man City with this FFP thing because other clubs are doing shadier stuff. And I think it's also FIFA's fault, you know, because Botafogo got that payout because of the FIFA Club World Cup as well. So they're also financially fine.
Yep.
Because of FIFA. So it's FIFA's fault that Lyon is back.
And it's not shady. They just did business, I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyway, you can carry on. Sorry. I got sidetracked.
Right. Okay, cool. So basically, in summary, right, the key principle of the FFP is that clubs break even over a three-year period with obviously allowable losses because clubs are going to lose money, right? 60 mil for UEFA, 105 mil for Premier League with conditions. Now, what I want to ask, right, is does the FFP truly promote sustainability or does it entrench the dominance of already wealthy clubs?
You know, I think, you know, it does limit smaller clubs. Because smaller clubs therefore have smaller budgets to work with.
Because, yeah, they don't make the same as the bigger ones.
But I don't believe that it allows wealthy clubs to hold their dominance. Because, you know, I think if that was the case, people wouldn't have tried to have things like the Super League. You wouldn't have Madrid trying to get every good player they can outside of their contract. You know?
Mm.
A lot of people don't agree with me. I, to an extent, agree with like FFP because I don't want to see clubs going under because of shady owners who don't know how to run the club.
Okay.
You know? And they want to live up the dream and buy all the best players and they can't afford those players.
Okay. Good point.
But does it, does it allow for, say, sustainability? I'd have to say yes. You know, how many European clubs do you know that went under?
Not many.
But the problem is...
What is the problem?
The problem is that because of things like how competitions and stuff are set up, I believe the wealthier clubs get wealthy.
Yeah.
So they never really worry about... And they thread the lines of FFP so well.
Oh, okay. So they know how to...
They do a lot of political moving around. Like you look at like a Man City, you know, and how they've done it. And having this 115 charges and nothing has come out yet, you know, it really shows you that they know how to play that line very well.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So there were some updates between 2022 and 2025 in UEFA shifting, shifting to FSR.
It wasn't because of us.
Definitely not because of you. So UEFA replaced FFP with FSR, which was the financial sustainability regulation, right? You might also think of it as the PSR.
Oh, wow.
Which is the FSR, profits and sustainability regulation. But now this was UEFA saying, let me copy your homework. And then England was like, yeah, but don't make it obvious. So UEFA was like, okay, cool. FSR, right?
Ha, ha, ha.
Which included a squad cost ratio rule. Okay. And that by 25-26 season, they can only spend 70% of revenue on wages, transfers, and agent fees.
Okay, so only 70%.
Yes. And okay. This changes from the 90% that they could use.
Damn. What the heck? Okay, so basically, this thing is telling clubs to have more money.
It's telling them to keep more money.
Yeah, keep more money. Yeah.
For the running of the club. Rather That's than not a bad putting thing. Everything into buying and selling of players.
Okay. That's not a bad thing. Because also, I mean, look at what happened with the pandemic where they allowed losses. So basically, because they knew clubs were going to lose money during the pandemic, so they allowed the allowable losses to up to 60 million, which was previously it was only 30 mil.
You know, and what's crazy about the COVID-19 era, you know, and look, obviously it wasn't their fault for the losses, but you could see, you can see till today how certain clubs have never really recovered from the losses that they've made during the COVID-19 era. Mm. And it kind of makes you think, you know, what happens if you allow clubs to make big losses? You like, you don't put a cap on how much the loss can be in the next, like, over 3 years. Because they have to break, sorry, they have to break even in 3 years, right?
I mean, look at Barca. Barca had a terrible period.
Yeah. And terrible. You look at like with the Premier League, the Premier League's changes, you know, the 25-26, they're also going to bring in a cost ratio rule, right? Yeah. Aligning with the 70% that UEFA asks for. Right, and 85% for non-Europeans, right? And it allows for you to, it currently allows for a loss of 105 million over 3 years.
Okay. Hmm. Interesting.
And it's kind of crazy because now what happens if you start, you don't put those caps in, you allow them to go crazy, you know? How bad will teams be?
I mean, to the point of like bankruptcy, basically.
Yeah. So how is FFP or PSR calculated?
Hmm. So in short, basically, right? So number one, what counts? Spending on wages, transfer fees, and agent fees are included in this. And then there's also infrastructure, youth development, so your academies, and women's football. So all three of these, infrastructure, youth development, and women's football, are exempt. So what matters is how much you spend on wages, transfer fees, and also agent fees.
Yeah, and you look at that, you can see that that's why they can spend like freaking $1 billion on the stadium and then still have money for transfers.
Cool.
Because you're not going to...
Yeah. You know, luckily we rent.
So clubs can spend initially spend 90% of their revenue on squad costs. Scaling to 70% by the, obviously, as we said, by the 2025-2026 season. Sponsorship deals with related parties are normally like scrutinized over fair value, right? And yeah, so these things, and they're trying to close loopholes, you know, so transfer fees can now be spread over 5 years max. And this is to stop, guess who? Chelsea from doing long-term contracts like what they did with Mudrik, where they made it an 8.5-year contract, an 8.5-year contract.
Crazy stuff, man. So they're paying off this guy for 8.5 years.
Yep. And you know, next week, because we're gonna continue with this next week, we're gonna make this a two-part because there's a lot more to go at. Next week, we're gonna be looking at high profit FFP breaches and punishments, including the infamous Man City 115.
You mean Everton, right?
The Everton 10-point deduction. We're also going to be looking at the criticisms and the controversies around FFP. And we're going to look at other leagues because, you know, we've been looking at how, like, the English Premier League does it. But we're going to look at how La Liga, the Bundesliga, Liga One.
You know,
La Liga, Bundesliga, all rhymed.
You know?
I couldn't let League One alone. And we're going to see what some fans and people out there say and look at some potential impacts and future reforms that could happen, and many, many more next week.
Yes.
Same time.
Same place.
Only
on the
VAR
show. We are signing out.
It's that simple. Become part of the family today, because radio has never been better with Active FM.
This is Radio On Demand. What you want, when you want it.
It's Active FM. Active FM.
Radio has never been better, baby. This is Active FM. Go to www.activefm.co.za for more.
For more. For more.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.